unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed. Now I like guarantees. Stable, valid, guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, talking about the Jews, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. So what is the word saying? The word is saying that the inheriting of God's promises depends entirely on faith in God. Why? Because if our faith or our receiving is rooted in our ability, then it is to no effect. You will never be confident to receive from God if you think that it is your ability and your goodness and your perfection that can actually qualify you to receive. Let me give you an example. I have 100 ringgit here. Is 100 ringgit a big amount? It is a big amount. It's quite big. Okay, good. All right. So I have 100 ringgit. Now, everybody who's looking at me now, you know that I have the ability to give you 100 ringgit, right? Because I have it. Now, many of you don't know me. All of you don't really know me. But I'm really a good and nice girl. I'm a good person, you know, and I love people and all that. And I'm, you know, generous. I have 100 ringgit and I would like to give it away. All right? And so now you know that I have the ability and now you know that I am willing to give. So how many of you here would like to receive 100 ringgit? All right. If you want, okay, anybody wants to receive 100 ringgit, just come up on the stage right now with me. The first one to come up, we'll get the 100 ringgit. Come on, just run up the stage. Don't be shy. 100 ringgit. All right. I am so sorry. Oh, my goodness, sweetie. Hello. 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 Is that your name? No, it's not. All right. What is your name? Come here, sweetie. What is your name?
My name is Anne.
Anne. That's a pretty name. So do you like 100 ringgit? Yes, you do. Now, because I said that I'm a good person and that I have the ability to give you, do you believe that I am able and willing to give this to you? You believe that. All right. Now, let's just say, for purposes of illustration, that I will tell her, Anne, I will give you 100 ringgit if you can jump and touch the ceiling right now. Could you try? Oh, you don't even want to try. I mean, you know, a miracle could happen and you could just like zoom up there. Huh? So, can you do it? No, you can't. Now, what do you think about the 100 ringgit? Do you still believe you can receive it?
Not much.
Not much. But before I told you could jump up and touch the ceiling, did you believe I could give it to you?
Yes.
Yes, because she ran up to get it. Do you see what I'm getting at? When her faith was rooted in my ability to give it to her and my willingness to give it to her, she just ran and she was like, I'm getting the 100 ringgit, right? But then all of a sudden I said, ooh, now it's already going to depend on your ability. It's now going to depend on whether or not you can jump up and touch the ceiling. And what happened to her faith? Just right there. No more faith to receive. Let me tell you, it is the same thing with God. If we think that we can inherit his promises and his goodness because we perform perfectly or because we're good all the time and because of our works, I am telling you, your faith will not be so strong to receive from him. But if you believe that God will bless you because he loves you, that he is not only able, but he is willing to bless you, then I'm telling you, you're going to be like a little kid running up to receive the blessings of God. Amen. And because I am able and because I am willing, I will still give you the 100 ringgit. Thank you so much, Anne. Hallelujah. But do you see that? That from this illustration, we can see that our faith goes to the next level when we trust in him alone. It needs to rest on grace. The foundation of our faith needs to be on the grace of God. It needs to be solidly hooked up to his goodness. Let me tell you something about God's goodness. The only reason that we can ever move forward in life, that we can ever believe for great things. The only reason that we can ever step out into the impossible, the only reason that we can ever step out into what God tells us to do, whether or not we see that, oh, I don't know if I want to step out, things are not aligning, but God, if you're telling me to do it, I'll step out and do it. Do you know why we can do that? Because we know He is good. And because we know He has gone before us to prepare the way. We might not see everything yet at the moment. We might not see the provision right now. But if He said it, we will do it. Why? Because we know He is good. That is the cornerstone of our theology. It's the cornerstone of everything we ever believe in. Whether it's healing, whether it's provision, whether it's restoration, the glory of God coming to dwell in a house. It's all because of His goodness. And if we have that as our foundation, I am telling you, our hearts are going to be open to receive from Him. Our hearts are going to be open to obey, because it is easier to obey a good God. I said easier because how many of you know, like, not always easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it to step out on a word from the Lord. Amen. Romans 5:8 in the Message says, Message Bible, but God put His love on the line for us. Look at how much God loves us. God put His love on the line for us by offering His Son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to Him. While we were still sinners, God put His love on the line for us. If that is not grace, I don't know what is. If that is not unmerited favor, I don't know what is. I love John 3:16. We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever, say whoever, whoever believes on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever, that's it, whoever. Doesn't matter your social background. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter where you came from. But whoever believes shall have everlasting life. Amen. Can you imagine that? He gave Jesus to us, and He did not even do a background check on us. He gave His one and only Son, one and only dear Son, oh, the darling of heaven, and He gave Him with no conditions at all. He did not say, I will give Jesus only if you'll take care of Him. I'll give Jesus only if you will receive Him. There were no such conditions. Says whoever believes. I don't know about you. I have children. You have beautiful children, grandchildren. I mean, if you were to leave your children, let's just say you and your wife would go out on a trip, and you would have to have, somebody to take care of your children, right? I mean, before you would do that, you would do a background check on that person, right? Every police clearance, whatever. You want to make sure this person is good. You're not going to leave your children with somebody who has a police record or whatever. No, you want to make sure this is a good guy, right? A good person. But God didn't do that. He gave His one and only Son. Didn't even do a background check on us. Phew, because if He did, I don't think He would ever send His Son. We were all destined to darkness and destined to hell. But you know what? Because of His goodness and His love, He gave Jesus Christ. I remember the story of Barabbas. You know Barabbas? We all know that at the time that Jesus was crucified, there was a tradition during the Passover that one prisoner would be released. And Pilate, in the hopes that the crowd would choose Jesus, you know, brought out Jesus and brought out Barabbas. You know the story? And you know that the crowd chanted, "We want Barabbas! We want Barabbas! We want Barabbas!" Do you think God was surprised? I don't think so. I didn't say, oh my goodness, they chose Barabbas. I thought they chose Jesus. What am I to do now? No. God knew the people would choose Barabbas. God set up that popularity contest, and He knew Barabbas was going to be chosen. He knew that Jesus would lose to that. He knew that His Son was going to die. And so you know what? Barabbas was set free, and Jesus was sentenced to die. And I don't see in any commentary or in any Bible study, I don't know, Pastor, I mean, you study, I know you know more than of the Bible than I do, but there is no record of Barabbas ever coming to repent, is there? There is no record in the Word that I know of that Barabbas ever went to the feet of the cross and said, Jesus, thank you for taking my place. None. None. And yet he was set free. Do you know that Jesus came, and he came without condition? He came without condition. And the only requirement for us to be saved is to believe. To believe. You know, in this story, you and I, we're the Barabbas. We were set free, and he was condemned to die. I praise God, in this house, we are of those who believed. We are of those who came home. We are of those who received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? Whoever believes is qualified. God gave Jesus without any thought for the humanity's response to it. He just gave. That's how much God loves us. Anyway, Barabbas didn't deserve anything, and neither did we. But God gave Jesus. Hallelujah. It is time to believe for much more than what we deserve. Amen. I do not know what you are believing for. But don't look at your background. Don't look to your past. Don't look to your circumstance. Look to him. And let your heart respond to him. Let your heart worship him. And believe for much more than what you deserve. The second thing, it is time to believe that God is good. It's time to believe that God is good. Romans 5, 8 to 11 in the New Living Translation says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation." Hallelujah. "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. If God gave his Son Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners, if God showed his amazing love and goodness to us while we were far from him, how much more now that we are saved shall he manifest his goodness and love to us? How much more now that we are his children, that he will give good things to us? If he did it while we were sinners, how much more now that we are his children?" You know what? The gospel, the good news, is the same for the unbeliever and the believer. There's no different message for the unbeliever and the believer. I mean, if you go to crusades, if you go to mass crusades where, you know, the evangelistic crusades, and you hear the evangelists cry out for an altar call, and healing and miracles and signs and wonders are happening even before people get saved. And then he has this altar call and he says, "All of you come. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. Just come to God just as you are. He loves you no matter what. He is calling you home. Don't worry about the sins in the past. That is going to be covered by the blood of Jesus. Just come to Christ and he will embrace you and he will love you." Hallelujah. And you can see people flock to the altar and they receive Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that the message of salvation? Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that the good news? Do you agree? But sometimes, and not in this church, but sometimes when we become believers, all of a sudden the message changes. "Oh, you believers, you backsliders. When was the last time you read your Bible? Who? What have you done this week? Have you prayed 10 hours a day? Who? If not, repent, for the wrath of God is going to come upon you." I'm thinking, whoa, what change? All of a sudden when you were an unbeliever, there's this message of love and goodness, and here it's about condemnation and wrath and punishment. I kind of want to go back. Let me just hear this good news. But how many of you know the message is the same? When you were a believer and you fall and you miss the mark and you sin, guess what? Don't run away from church. Come and run to the church. Because it is in this house where you find healing. It is in the presence of God where you find restoration. If somebody who sins cannot come to the church, what hope do they have in the world? They need the house of God. They need the presence of God. And our message has to be the same. Maybe you've done something wrong this week. Maybe you're feeling guilty this week. I don't know. But guess what? God loves you. God has His arms open wide to embrace you. He is good to you. He wants you to come back, come home, come home. Amen. That must be our message. We have to believe God is good. You know, I love just being in a house where we can just have the free flow of the Spirit of God like this morning. Why can that happen here? Because you hear good news all the time. I believe that because you're not going to come here and receive healing if you don't believe God is good. I believe that in this house, the foundation and the core principles of the Word of God is being preached, and that's why there's this freedom for the Spirit to move in this house. We have got to believe that God is good. Amen. How many of you remember the story of the flood in Genesis? I want to show you something there very quickly. In Genesis 9:12, after the flood, He spoke to Noah about a covenant that He was going to make. And it says this, "Then God said, 'I am giving you a sign of My covenant with you and with all living creatures for all generations to come.'" So I'm reading from the book of Genesis, but this applies to us now. Because He said this covenant was for all generations to come. Verse 13, "I have placed My rainbow in the clouds. It is the sign of My covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember My covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the flood waters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth." And God said to Noah, "Yes, this rainbow is the sign of the covenant I am confirming with all the creatures on earth." Now, in the book of Genesis, God makes an everlasting covenant. It's a covenant that will stand forever. It is a covenant for all generations. But what is this covenant? You might be thinking. What is this covenant that God is talking about in Genesis? Well, we can see it in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 54, verse 9 to 10 in the Amplified Bible. It talks about this covenant and it says, "For this is like the days of Noah to me, as I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn," and here is the covenant, "that I will not be angry with you or rebuke you." Verse 10, "For though the mountains should depart and the hills be shaken or removed, yet My love and kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall My covenant of peace and completeness be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you." Do you see this covenant that He made with Noah? He said, "When you see the rainbow, this is the covenant that I want all generations to remember, including our generation. And it's this, that I will never be angry with you anymore, that I will never rebuke you, that My kindness will not depart from you, that My covenant of peace will always be upon you." Guess what? Today, there is a covenant of peace between you and God. A covenant of nothing missing and nothing broken. A covenant wherein His kindness will never be removed from you. Where His compassion and His goodness will always be available to you. We have got to believe that God is good. And I want you to see the basis of this promise. He said He will never be angry with you again. But when did He promise this? He promised this after the flood. And this is very significant. Because the story of the flood is the story of the redeemed in Christ. It is a picture of our salvation. The ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. When God said, "Cover the ark with pitch," that word "pitch" is the word propitiation. Propitiation. Jesus was the propitiation. What is a propitiation? It's such a hard word to pronounce. But it just means satisfaction or appeasement. Jesus was the satisfaction and the appeasement of the wrath of God upon mankind, upon sin. Jesus satisfied the anger of God. Jesus paid the price for the wrath of God. And therefore, God says, because of that, I will never be angry with you anymore. My covenant of kindness will be upon you. The ark is a picture of Christ. When Noah and his family were in the ark, it was a picture of them being in Christ. That even in the flood, even if the waves were beating against the ark, even if the wind was howling, even if the circumstances were not good, Noah and his family were safe in the ark. And I'm telling you something today. You are in Christ. When you believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are now placed in Christ. That is your position. And things might not be going well around you, but you are secure in Christ. And sometimes you may fall. And sometimes you may miss the mark. But you know what? When you fall and miss the mark, you miss and fall and miss the mark in Christ. You will never be thrown out of Christ, because I know that Noah and his family, when the wind was beating and the waves were crashing, they might have been going, whoa, whoa, ah! They might have fallen. But guess what? They didn't fall out of the ark. They still fell in the ark. They were still safe in the ark. And I'm telling you, we have got to believe that God is so good that maybe we may fail and miss the mark and sin. But if we turn back to God and know that He's good and know that He loves us, we will find ourselves securely in Him, in the ark. Amen. We have got to believe that God is good. Hallelujah. Romans 8:32 says, He who did not withhold or spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also with Him freely and graciously give us all other things? If God took care of our eternity, we must believe He can take care of our temporary. We must believe He can take care of that which concerns us. The Bible says He perfects that which concerns us. It might be a bill to pay. It might be children who are running away from God. It might be a relationship that you want restored. But whatever concerns you, He wants to perfect that because He is good. Amen? The third thing, it is time to believe that God has good plans for you. It is time to believe God has good plans for you. Romans 4:18-19 in the Message Bible says, when everything was hopeless. Have you ever been in a place where everything was hopeless? It says here, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. See, there are only two things you can do when things are hopeless. Give up or believe anyway. You know what? Let's believe anyway. Because here we can see that Abraham, it says Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he could not do, but on what God said he would do. See, Abraham and Sarah were promised a son. In their old age, they looked at each other and they went, I have no idea how that's going to happen. But it was a promise from God. It was a good promise from God. And Abraham decided not to live on the basis of what he saw in the natural, but he decided to live on the basis of what God said he would do. And then it says here, and so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Verse 19 says, Abraham did not focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. What does survey mean? It means to reason out. It means to look up and down. I mean, Abraham must have looked at his wife and went, oh God, this is impossible. 90? 100? How are we going to ever have a child? No, he didn't look at that. It says, the Bible says he did not focus on that. Why? Because he believed that God has a good plan for him. He believed what God had promised him. Hallelujah. And because he did not weaken in faith, the Bible says he received the promise. Now, I'm just going to insert something here. You might say, well, there's an Ishmael. Right, Pastor? I mean, It says he didn't waver. I mean, he did waver. God, did you ever forget that, you know, he said, well, nothing's going to happen. Let's get my handmaiden, you know. I mean, oh, Sarah was saying, hey, why don't you get my handmaiden? Abraham said, oh, sure, okay. Was it not wavering? But let me tell you something about this. God, when he says that Abraham was the father of faith, he did not mean that Abraham was perfect in his faith. It meant that Abraham had faith that even when he failed and even when he fell, he got up and believed God anyway. That's faith. Because faith, if we have faith like Abraham's, can you imagine if he had perfect faith, never made a mistake? How could we even have faith like Abraham's, pastor? Right? How many of you here have ever wavered in your faith? A few honest people, yes. Those of you who have not, just pray for us later after the service. Yes, how many of you believe in God and you're seeing things that are not happening, right? And you're going, I don't know. And you start wavering, right? Don't be condemned. Abraham did the same. But God still says, he's my friend. God still says, Abraham was a father of faith. That brings hope to me. Because God is not saying it's not perfect faith. It's faith that stands up even when you fall. It's because I might fall now, but my faith is in God who never fails. I might fail, but he never fails. Now that's faith. Hallelujah. And so I just wanted to put that in because a lot of people question me, but he did waver, right? Yeah, so we might see what the definition of great faith is for God. Great faith is not like walking it out perfectly. Great faith is believing in God, even when we ourselves are like, oh, but you know what? In all of this, Lord, I'm just going to believe anyway. That's great faith. Amen? So you've got to believe that God has good plans for you. Amen? Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good. Say good. And not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. Oh my goodness, look at that. This is undeserved. Before you were even born, God has already destined and prepared good works for you to walk in. We didn't even know him. And some of us might have even run away from him at some point or the other. But the Bible says, before you were even born, he planned, he prepared things for us to walk in, good things. He said that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. What a good father we have. What a good father. I mean, I met Janelle, your daughter, and she's pregnant with her second baby. Can you imagine how much the preparation for that baby is right now? I believe that there's a nursery, there's a crib, there's a mobile hanging, there are little, you know, baby clothes right there waiting for that baby, prearranged, made ready. I mean, some parents, the college is already prepared. They've saved up for it, right? I mean, we've prepared for them. And, you know, we haven't even seen them. They haven't even done anything good for us. I mean, nothing. And then for the mother, it's all this pain when you give birth. And then we go, oh, my baby, who caused me so much pain. I don't care. I love you. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Amen. I mean, if we can do that as natural parents, how much more our Heavenly Father? Oh, he must be so excited for the things that he has prepared for you to walk in. I mean, can you imagine Janelle just so excited for this baby to, you know, to be in this crib that she had prepared? And you know, for you who have children, have you prepared vacations for your children, like surprise things for your kids? You can't wait for them to experience it and walk in it, right? You're like, oh, I can't wait for my children to see that. Ooh, I have a surprise for them. Can you imagine if as a natural parent you can do that? Can you imagine the delight of God when he sees you walking out all that he has prepared for you? Amen. We have to believe that God has good plans for us. And the first thing is, we have to believe for much more than what we deserve. The second thing, it is time to believe that God is good. Third thing, it is time to believe that God has good plans for us. And the fourth and the last thing is this, it is time to believe for miracles. for miracles. Miracles did not go out with the apostles. Miracles are still happening today. Hallelujah. In Romans 4, 20, 21, in the Amplified Bible, it says, no unbelief or distrust made Abraham waver or doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. And this is the key in verse 21, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. That is the key. That is the key to believing and waiting patiently, is to know that whatever promise you have from God, that you are fully convinced that God is able to do it, that God is able to fulfill it, because God is still in the business of doing miracles. He is still in the business of making the impossible become possible. He is still in the business of providing breakthroughs for you and your family. He is a God of miracles. That was what we were singing. He is a God of miracles. And I love it that you're going to study the book of Acts every Tuesday. I encourage you, go to that Bible study. Why? Because if you see the pattern of the church in the book of Acts, it is going to build your faith for the miraculous. It is going to build your faith for breakthroughs. It is going to build your faith for the generosity and the resources of God to be poured out upon this house and upon your house. Because God is still in the business of doing miracles. We have the easy part. All we have to do is believe. He does the hard part. All Moses had to do was raise his staff. Can anybody raise their hand right now? Pretend you have a staff. Easy, right? Right? That's all you need to do. It is God's job to part the water. All we have to do is pour the little bit of oil that we have in our home when there's nothing left. All we have to do is to pour that little jar of oil. But it is God's job to multiply the oil so that they have more than enough to live. We have the easy part. But God does the miraculous part. Hallelujah. God is good. I want you to believe for breakthroughs. I want you to believe for water into wine experiences. I want you to believe that provision can be sent from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I mean, if a raven can bring food to a prophet. I'm telling you, don't just relegate it to stories in the Bible. We've got to have our own stories. It is all good. The stories are there to build our faith, but it is not to stop there. The book of Acts Church, still continuing. Book of Acts Church, still continuing. Hallelujah. God can send you money through unexpected sources. He can open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. He can use people you've never even met. Oh, I can tell you stories upon stories upon stories of how we had no idea where to get tuition fee for our son. And believing and believing, and the school kept calling us and saying, oh, you need to enroll your son. Yes, yes, we're going to enroll our son. Just wait, and we didn't have any money. And just believing God, not telling anybody what we needed. And just believing God, and all of a sudden getting a phone call from the school, and the school saying, hey, bring your son in. And we said, oh, you know what, maybe we'll bring him next week. We're still waiting for the money. And they say, oh, no, somebody just called, and they enrolled your son. So just come in. And we'll just give you the books and all the materials that he needs. And we're like, excuse me? And we said, they paid for the tuition fee? Oh, did they pay for one quarter? A quarterly payment? We were believing for just a quarterly payment. We were just believing, Lord, just give us one quarter payment just to bring our son to school, right? I said, oh, did they pay for the quarter? Oh, no, ma'am, they paid for the whole year. And up to this moment, I have no idea who paid for that. God can do that. He can do it. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you, because God doesn't play any favorites. Oh, the stories, the stories, the stories. It is time for us to require an experience from what we believe. Right now, Pastor, if you would just allow me, I just want to call out people who are believing for a breakthrough, a miraculous breakthrough, whether it is in your finances,
whether it is in a relationship, a restoration, whatever it is, if that is you and you are here and you are believing for a supernatural or breakthrough in your life, in the area of your relationships, your business, in your finances, maybe you are believing to be debt-free, maybe you're believing for a contract to come, and it seems impossible in the natural, but if you are believing for it, I want you to raise your hand right now. Hallelujah. Oh, and I'm not just that. You know, if it's all right, Pastor, I would want them to come in here. You know what? If you raise your hand, I want you to come forward right now. Even as we're going to be praying, I'm going to be praying for your breakthrough. If you raise your hand right now, just please come forward. I believe, you know what? The Bible says that the word, signs and wonders follow.